Get deeper insights on the news from inside sources.
Well, as often happens on live radio, occasionally things don't go as planned. Sometimes you have an interruption and have to cut short a crucial conversation. That happened for us yesterday as we were talking about some of the coming crises in the country, especially around Social Security, and looking for some of those voices that are thinking differently about this or how we might look to other places than just the status quo of Washington, D.C. to solve some of the big issues of our time. And we were having a great conversation with Chris McIsaac, a fellow at the R Street Institute, where he prepares research and analysis on electoral reform and budget policy. And Chris, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being patient with it yesterday.
Of course. Yeah, thanks for having me back on.
All right. Well, let's pick up the conversation now. Social Security reform, of course, everywhere from the president's State of the Union address to everywhere you go, it's just no longer acceptable to say that anything needs to be done about Social Security, despite the fact that everybody knows within 10 years something's going to happen with Social Security. And if we do nothing, it could be everything, especially for those who can least afford it. So give us your perspective in terms of what are we looking at and where should we be looking for some possible solutions?
Well, that's exactly right in terms of the trajectory of Social Security. It's fundamentally unsustainable under the current design of the program. And what that really means is just that the amount of money that's collected each year is less than the amount of money that's being paid out each year in benefits. So that's a simple concept to understand, that you can't go on like that forever. And in the case of Social Security, they will really face that reality in about 10 years when their existing surplus that they've been drawing down to backfill those shortfalls runs out. And that's when you get to that point that you mentioned of benefit cuts for retirees.
Yeah.
Say Congress has known this is coming, but they don't have a contemporary playbook for how to deal with it because they've not passed a meaningful Social Security reform since 1983.
Mm. Wow. And so as you look at that, again, it's one of those that's easy to kick down the road because you're not dealing with it. And if you do say you're going to deal with it, you end up with a primary challenger within your own party, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. And so it's very difficult to have the honest conversation, the real conversation. And you said that there's actually some things that we could learn from some federalism as it relates to this and some of the lessons that have taken place in those laboratories of democracy as it relates to some of the state pension reform. Describe that for us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what we've seen at the state level is that in the aftermath of the Great Recession, so during the 2007-2008 crisis, that generated a significant strain on state budgets as well as the balance sheets of their pension plans. And in response, there was a flurry of activity in the states. We saw states controlled by both Republicans, Democrats, shared power between the two parties, all stepping up and taking action to shore up the sustainability of their pension funds. And that included things like raising the amount of money that was going into the funds in the form of employee and employer contributions. It also included reductions to benefits in the form of lower COLAs and even some more comprehensive plan design changes like the ones approved in Utah to kind of move towards something more akin to a 401k style retirement plan.
Yeah, and so as you look at that playing out and as you look ahead, from the national level, as it relates to Social Security, is there space where Democrats and Republicans can kind of share that political risk, kind of get down to the brass tacks of how we actually need to solve this, and give us a sense of what that might look like?
Yeah, I think that concept of shared risk and shared sacrifice is going to be essential to crafting a solution. And what we saw in terms of successful efforts at the state level is that the reforms commonly had those two elements. So what I mean by that is, you know, bipartisan support for legislative proposals that had impacts to both retirees, current employees, and taxpayers. So everyone was contributing to solving the problem. And I think that spirit of collaboration allowed the parties to really set aside some of the political bickering and come together to support reforms that made a positive impact on the plan finances.
Yeah. So as you look at really the daunting challenge of dealing with that sustainability, what else should Congress be taking note of, again, especially the things that have happened at the state level, that they might be able to parlay into that national conversation and some real legislation, not just the rhetoric and the bumper sticker stuff, but things that could actually help that sustainability problem for Social Security?
Well, look, I think one of the helpful things that could move things along would be to sort of think of both a long-term and a short-term solution to the problem. In the long-term, lawmakers should be thinking about moving the system towards something, you know, that is a little bit more kind of aligned with the way people's life expectancies are today, how they bounce from employer to employer, how they have access to different types of savings vehicles. I think that's the kind of aspirational version of the conversation.
Yeah.
In the near term, we need to come together and fix the solvency crisis that's just 10 years away. And that's going to require a realistic look at both increases in revenue as well as reductions in benefits. There's just no other way to make the math work.
Yeah, and the math always wins in the end. And there are the absolute predictability of consequences of not dealing with it. And so it is going to take additional revenue. It is going to take some change in terms of those benefits. Great perspective, Chris McIsaac, a fellow with the R Street Institute. And grateful to have you on the program today, Chris. And we look forward to having you back as we continue that crucial conversation around Social Security. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, again, that's Chris McIsaac from R Street. And these are things we have to get to. And neither side want to talk about it because they're afraid if they have an honest conversation, they'll end up with a primary opponent. Or they'll lose an election. But if we don't have people who are willing to lose an election to do the right thing for the country, not sure they're the ones we should vote for anyway. All right, we'll step aside for bottom of the hour news. More Inside Sources coming up next.